Hello.
And welcome back to the Sober Butterfly Podcast, Season 2. 2.0, baby. Here we are. And welcome to 2023. Oh my gosh, Happy New Year. Are we still allowed to wish people a Happy New Year? I don't know. It's like that murky gray area. Either way, what I do know is that I am so glad that you made it to this show. If you are new to the Sober Butterfly Podcast, welcome. If you've been riding with me since season one, welcome back. The Sober Butterfly Podcast is your favorite resource for sober inspo, fun, travel, all the things. I like to think of TSB Podcast as like a one-stop shop for sobriety, recovery, wellness. And as we unfold season two, I'm going to be doing a little bit more around lifestyle in general, because I've been having conversations with other sober women, and there seems to be like this reoccurring theme, which is, you know, in early stages of your sobriety. So I don't know how you want to define early stages, but for me, I would say the first year. The first year of sobriety, you are focused on your recovery, or you're focused on your sobriety, because remember, we all have different reasons for not drinking or choosing to reevaluate our relationships with alcohol. In those early days, it's almost like your identity is completely enveloped in sobriety and how that looks and feels. And especially if you're someone like me who has come from a tumultuous, a rocky past when it comes to substances, particularly alcohol, it's like that was your obsession. That was your God. And now that you're sober, it's like, this is my new identity. This is who I am. Literally, my name is the Sober Butterfly. But something curious happens, I would say, after you start to feel confident in your sobriety. So for me, I think that's hovering around the year and a half mark, which is where I'm at now. So actually on January 5th, a few days ago, I celebrated 1.5 years of sobriety. I don't really commemorate these milestones. And for some reason, a year and a half felt bigger and more special to me than even a year. I don't know if it's because of the time of year, it being, you know, January 2023, you know, new beginnings. I just felt compelled to celebrate. And so I actually hosted a giveaway for a free sobriety toolbox, which I'm going to be sharing with you guys a little bit more. The theme of today's episode is actually about sobriety toolboxes. Anyway, I celebrated a year and a half, but it got me thinking about, well, who is Nadine? By the way, my name is Nadine Molina. I am the Sober Butterfly, yes. But beyond that, I'm so much more than just my sobriety. And sobriety is the anchor that keeps me connected to this world, believe that. But at the same time, I want to explore more depths of myself. And in doing so, I'm going to use this platform to obviously stay rooted in sobriety recovery, addiction, and have those conversations. But at the same time, I want to explore life in general. So this season of TSB Podcast is going to open up a little bit more to other topics. It's definitely sober adjacent. Okay. It's giving, we're still in the neighborhood, but I'm also going to be stepping a little bit outside of my comfort zone and talking about other things as it pertains to my life through the lens of a sober woman, but also like, who am I? And what are we doing here? I hope that makes sense. It will as time unfolds. But I just wanted to name that for us, because if you've, like I said, been riding with me since day one, it was very much only focused on sobriety. And I just don't want people to be surprised if I start talking about affirmations, for example, or manifestations. Speaking of, I'm actually doing Gabby Bernstein's 21 Manifesting Challenge. So after my 21 days, I may be talking about that, just as an example. But I'm really excited that you're here. And let's jump into this week's episode, which is all about sober toolboxes. I know a lot of people know what sober toolboxes are, but just so that we are on the same page in terms of common shared language, I'm going to define a sober toolbox as a collection of tools, and tools can look very different. They can be tangible things like products, for example, or they can be strategies like deep breathing. They can be lessons. They can be resources like this podcast, for example. But basically, it's a collection of different tools or things that you can reach for instead of reaching for the bottle, right? So it's like a healthier alternative to cope on those tough days, right? You go into your sober toolbox and you essentially take what you need from it.
I know the importance of sober toolboxes, but then I had this like really cool idea. I thought it was cool, which is to make it sensual. Now, sensual, get your mind out the gutter. I'm not talking about like that kind of sensuality, people. And I don't even know if the name is actually fitting for what it is that I am proposing or what I put together. But Essential Sobriety Toolkit is essentially a toolkit that includes all five senses. I'm going to run with that idea for this episode. You can look up different sober toolkits and you'll find a ton of resources, but you won't find anything about sensual sobriety toolkits. So that is what I've put together for y'all. Let me just say as well, some of you may not know this about me, but I have a lisp. I went to speech for many years, and saying the words sensual sobriety toolbox is hard. Wow. Try saying sensual sobriety toolbox 5 times fast. I bet you can't. And if you can, I hate you. No, I'm joking. If you can, good for you. Anyway, I have this grand idea for a sensual sobriety toolbox, and I thought to myself, okay, that's what I want to gift to someone. So I'm announcing that gift or that giveaway later today. By the time you hear this, I probably would have announced it, but I'll follow up next week as to how that went. And in the toolbox, I put like a lot of cute things. I want to devote this episode to following that template of a sobriety toolbox because I think it elevates the experience of the toolbox when you can pull in your senses. Okay, so we understand what a sobriety toolbox is. I want to start with the first sense. I'm a visual learner, so I'm going to start with sight. So it would make sense for me to include Quitlet in my sobriety toolbox. Now, I'm reading different things beyond the scope and genre of Quitlet nowadays, but there are some great books that I can recommend. And if you want to see an actual compiled list of Quitlet that I personally have read and endorse and support and just recommend for people, check out my blog on thesoberbutterfly.com. The next item that I'm putting into my sensual sobriety toolkit is definitely journals. Journaling is probably one of the most integral parts of checking in with yourself, and not just checking in with yourself, because that is important, but you can do that in other ways. I think the power of the journal really comes from accountability from that perspective, because when you write something down, when you have irrefutable proof on paper, you can't lie to yourself anymore. And so even before I got sober, I would journal, right? My journals would sound like a broken record. I was here complaining and bitching and moaning about the same things day in and day out. Having that record and having that evidence compiled neatly in the pages of a book that I hand wrote was just very enlightening. And so the same can be said for keeping a journal in your toolbox, no matter where you are in your sobriety. Okay, so whether you're just doing dry January or whether you are sober forever and have declared that, right? Like, what does the evidence say? What does the journal show you? And so it's not just enough to like write in the journal, but at certain points you should do a deep dive into journals past and reflect and see like, oh, I started here. Now I'm here. Tracking that growth, having that data is just priceless. Really, you can't put a number on that. Some of the most effective ways to staying sober is free, totally free. I know other people talk about journaling, so I just want to make the connection that it's not just for getting your emotions onto paper, which is great, but it's also that you have proof, you have evidence that you have grown, or maybe you're self-sabotaging, right? Like it's maybe you're not growing. Either way, you won't know if you just have like this stream of consciousness between you and you. And it's a lot easier to lie to yourself when there's no proof. The proof is in the journal, okay? The last thing I'm going to recommend under my sight category for your sensual sobriety toolkit is affirmations. And you may be thinking to yourself, Nadine, affirmation, like that's visual, that's sight. Yes, because we're not just chanting these things to ourselves. Like meditation's powerful. Meditation, honestly, like I'm not a guru. I'm still working on meditation myself. But something that I know to be true because I'm seeing it work in my own life are affirmations, and not just affirmations that I recite over and over, like there's power to that. But when you write the affirmations down and make it visible, I think there's power in seeing that. And somehow the universe conspires. I really believe that. And I don't know if it's Gabby Bernstein speaking through me. I mentioned I'm doing her 21 Days of Manifesting Challenge. But I just find that when you write things down, put it on a piece of, like, put it on a post-it paper, stick it somewhere, look at it daily, recite it out loud, and watch your miracles unfold. Let me give an example of the power of affirmations. Okay, so when I turned 30, around the 30 mark, my skin went crazy. I started getting adult acne, something that I'd never struggled with in the past, and I didn't really know what to do. Getting sober, I thought was going to be the ultimate quick fix to that problem. That's not why I got sober, but you know, one of the benefits I thought would obviously be better skin. My skin has completely transformed, but it wasn't entirely because of sobriety. The only difference in my skincare routine that I've implemented for the last couple of months has been affirmations, but not just any affirmations, visual affirmations. Let me explain. So when I go into the bathroom, I'll wash my face, right, with a nice gentle cleanser. I use these non-alcoholic pads to like cleanse and remove any dirt, impurities, makeup that my face wash didn't get. Then I'll usually spray my face with witch hazel or another astringent that's gentle. Then I'll put like my eye cream on because I'm at that age. Then I will usually include like a vitamin E and C serum. If it's nighttime, I'll put like a night mask on. If it's daytime, I'll put on my moisturizer and then I'll put on sunscreen. Okay, that's basic, right? It's not super complicated. I do the minimal. Every now and then I'll throw retinol in the mix. But anyway, I saw a dramatic increase in the dewiness, the glow, and like a significantly reduced number of breakouts and even dark spots, because I'm a black girl and like when I get a pimple, it leaves these dark marks on my skin, right? Everything changed for me when I started doing my visual affirmations. So I'll go into the bathroom, I'll do that whole process I just explained to you. I'm looking in the mirror the whole time because I'm vain and I'm feeling myself, and I'm talking to myself in the mirror and I'm saying, "You are beautiful. My imperfections are unique and beautiful." Looking at myself in the mirror, my skin reflects my inner well-being. My skin has a healthy glow and is worthy of love. I'm healing my skin from the inside out. And not just looking at myself in the mirror, I also have, remember I talked about post-its? I have post-its all over the place because I'm constantly trying to remind myself and validate my worth. If this sounds too woo-woo for you, I'm going to just say one thing. Don't knock it till you try it, okay? Don't tell me that silly Nadine, that will never work if you've never even tried that, okay? Give it some time. But like I said, that's the only difference that I have implemented in the last couple of months when it comes to my skincare routine. And I've seen just a dramatic transformation. Like I said, less impurities, less dark marks, less breakouts, things like that. So try it and let me know how that goes for you. Okay, our next sense that we can use to build our sensual sobriety toolbox is sound. Let's start with the obvious when it comes to sound. So music. We have such a deep connection to music because it can be a great healing tool, right? It can even be spiritual for a lot of people. I want people to be mindful in terms of like what they put into their sobriety toolbox. Like music, great, but like what kinds of music? I want us to be very clear about the things that we are consuming, the types of music or media that we are hearing that's infiltrating our psyche. You have to understand that not everything is meant to be consumed. Clearly alcohol is not meant to be consumed. I just want you to be mindful of what you're listening to and how it makes you feel afterwards, okay? Like, we all have our sad girl playlist, right? Like, we're in a mood, we're in a funk, we need to, like, just hear something that we can connect to. I'm thinking Lana Del Rey. If your music is constantly making you feel crappy or down, then maybe you want to evaluate that. I've more recently been listening to frequencies. A friend put me onto them. You can go to YouTube or just do a quick Google search and type in frequencies and then dot, 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 there are tons of different types of frequencies that are like pitches, like these different pitches. I'm not like a sound expert, so I don't know what the technical term would be, but like there are different types of frequencies that will meet your different energies. And so you can make connections. Like there's, I listen to one based off of abundance. Before bed, I'll put on this frequency and it will help me open up my channels to welcome more abundance in my life. My second sound recommendation, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention podcasts. Oh my gosh, here we are on the podcast. Podcasts, I regard almost like Quitlet. Obviously, your podcast inventory does not have to be compiled of solely sober content, but I think it's helpful when we're talking about sobriety toolboxes to listen to different sober platforms or podcasts. Once again, I want to direct you to thesoberbutterfly.com under my blog section for you to see on that same article I referenced earlier. You'll see a number of recommendations I have for sober podcasts. Definitely would recommend that you find one that speaks to you and that you feel like is a good representation of what you're looking for in terms of like the messaging you want to hear. I think it's also great for educational purposes, period, just to like hear different perspectives. And once again, I'm in a phase in my life now where like I'm not always reaching for things, even in my sober toolbox, that's related to sobriety. I know that's somewhat contradictory based off of what I said earlier, but for me in this place, like I listen to different podcasts that are related to a wide range of topics, but all pretty much fall under the umbrella of wellness. My homework for you is, obviously you're listening to this podcast, so good for you, kudos. If you haven't left a review, also leave a review, but that's not why we're here. I'm going to ask that you find one to two other podcasts that speak to you. I think the podcasts are great because you can listen to them while doing other things and still receive the message. Like it doesn't have to be this all-consuming thing where you're sitting down reading a book, which I love to read, but like that's all you can really do, as opposed to like you're probably listening to this and doing something else. Maybe you're scrolling, maybe you're cooking dinner, maybe you're going for a walk or on your way to work or something like that, exercising, I don't know. But it's great because you can also combine this with another tool or just another activity. So far, we've talked about sight, we've looked at hearing or sound, and now I want to focus on smell. You know how they say people have like a heightened sense? That would be like a sense that is stronger, I guess, than the others. I would say my sense of smell is pretty spot on. I don't know if it's my strongest, but like I just feel like I smell things that other people don't. So I have a very delicate nose, I'll put it that way. When it comes to scents, I'm very particular about the smells around me, and you should be too. They say that I think like your olfactory gland is, look at me, I sound so scientific. Your olfactory gland is connected to memory. And so like, that's why if you smell something, it can trigger a past or it can trigger a past memory, which, you know, triggers obviously are things that we usually connotate as bad in sobriety, but they don't always have to be bad. Like you can smell something that reminds you of the pie your grandma used to make for you when you were little. I think there's so many great tools that fall under the smell realm that can help with sobriety, but definitely like self-care. And I'm big into presentation. Like I care about how I look, but I also care about how I smell. The first tool I'm going to put into my toolbox is definitely candles. Your girl loves candles, okay? If you're ever wondering what to get me, actually don't get me a candle. I was going to say get me a candle, but don't. Here's why. I don't want you to get me a candle because I'm so particular about smells that, yeah, I don't want you to get it wrong. So instead, just get me like a nice gift card to like Bath and Body Works or Target or somewhere that I can pick up my own candle. I sleep with my candles burning through the night. Is it a fire hazard? Probably. Like, so I live in a big city, you know, I'm in New York, and a lot of times there are unpleasant, I'm being nice, PG here, there are unpleasant smells in the world. And so when I come home after a long day, one of the first things I do is light a candle, and it just transports me to another time or place, and I just immediately feel more luxurious and cleaner somehow. Within that realm, I also love essential oils. Now, I could do a whole episode on essential oils. That's how much I love them. And essential oils, just so we're clear, it's like the essence. That's why they're called essential. The essence of a plant. So it's really great for aromatherapy. And I carry essential oils with me at all times. Not like a bunch. I usually have either tea tree oil or lavender or peppermint oil with me. Somebody gifted me with a book about how to make your own essential oil. So maybe I will do an episode about that, or like maybe I'll make a video and post on my YouTube channel about like the process, because it's better if you make it yourself. But like, I just feel like I'm so overwhelmed with all of the things and keeping up with everything that like, how and when would I find the time to do this? But like, the book is great. It breaks down more about like the properties of essential oils and how to make them. But I just want to highlight some good ones for different purposes in case you want to put essential oils into your toolbox. If you're looking to relax and wind, the best essential oil for that would be lavender. Lavender is great for promoting sleep, and it can help you wake up feeling more refreshed. So what I recommend is you can take, like, depending on your pillow, because oil does stain, so you may want to find like a little like pouch or something you can put your essential oil in. But what I do is, like, I'll take a cotton ball, and then I'll put a few dabs of the lavender essential oil on the cotton ball, and then I'll put that into my pillowcase. So that's just a little like pro tip for you. Or you can like put them into like a spray bottle and spray various parts of your room or your bedding with it. But like I said, just be mindful that oil does stain. Like I told you before, I keep my peppermint with me in my purse because it helps boost your energy levels, and it can also promote your memory. Something that I have a terrible memory, you guys. It's gotten better since I quit drinking, but in general, like, I'm worried. I keep peppermint oil around. It also helps curb sugar cravings, which, yeah, if you're sober, you may have struggled with sugar cravings, you know, when you quit drinking. That's a whole thing with your body. So I keep the peppermint oil with me. I also love, and the last one I'll talk about is eucalyptus oil. Eucalyptus oil is perfect for winter time because a lot of people are suffering from different respiratory ailments. There's so many like sicknesses out there right now. So eucalyptus oil is great to combat congestion. It basically reacts with mucous membranes, reducing your mucus. And it's really strong. It's very powerful. So make sure that you only use a little bit. And it's also great for mental clarity and for soothing headaches if you're prone to headaches. So yeah, do your own research. But in general, there's like so many different types of oils that you can use. You can visit my Amazon shop if you want to see more of the oils that I've ordered on Amazon. But like I said, I do want to start making my own oils. So stay tuned for that. On my Guide to Quitting Alcohol, which is a 30-day transformation e-course. By the way, check that out on YouTube. I dropped the first two modules out of four are available now. So check it out. But week two, which was, you know, week two of dry January, one of the lessons was devoted to sober toolboxes. And when I talked about taste, I used nourishing food as my example. So I'll start there. Nourishing food is integral when you quit drinking or when you're sober, because your body needs to replenish some of the nutrients that alcohol severely depleted. Moving along, my second recommendation is actually going to be tea. Tea is not just like a refreshing, nourishing, tasty treat, which is great. Like, it is all of those things, but it also can have healing properties. This is why I'm such a tea fanatic, because not only does it taste good, but it also is good for you, or can be good for you depending on the type of tea that you're drinking. Tea has like this plant compound known as polyphenols. I think I'm saying that right. I hope I'm saying that right. Which are basically antioxidants. And that's what is giving us the medicinal benefits. For your consideration, green tea. Now, green tea is great for reducing the risk of type 2 diabetes, which runs in my family. And also, it promotes heart health. I'll end on one other type of tea for this segment. And let's look at black tea. Now, if you're a caffeine addict like I am, black tea is a great alternative to drinking just straight coffee. It's also been known to promote cognition and also reduce inflammation. One study that was published in the Journal of Nutrition, Health, and Aging found that regularly drinking black tea, as well as oolong and green tea, but it was associated with a lower risk of developing a neurocognitive disorder, like dementia, for example. Black tea has something called flavonoids, which are compounds also found in green tea and other plant-based foods, but basically it helps to reduce lower your cancer risk as well. There are just a ton of different health benefits to drinking tea. But yeah, I'm just focusing on the two types of teas that I regularly drink, which is green and black. Two other honorable mentions. I don't drink these every day, but chamomile is in the daisy family, and it's such a beautiful tea. Like, I love to smell chamomile. I'm just not a huge fan of the taste. Like, I can have chamomile if it has other notes in it, like vanilla. It just has a weird taste to me. Like, it's not my favorite, but like, people swear by it. And I do understand that it's great for relaxation. I do understand that it can help stimulate the immune system. But yeah, it's just not like, it's not my go-to. Like, I'm never excited to have chamomile tea. And then finally, ginger tea is great. You can make ginger tea from scratch by boiling raw ginger. My family is Jamaican, and in my household, my grandma always made ginger tea anytime I felt nauseous, or if I was like had a stomach thing happening, if I threw up afterwards, I would drink the ginger tea. So if you have any tummy trouble, if you're like pregnant, if you are maybe detoxing, it can help with all of that. So great for medicinal purposes, and it's really safe and effective for helping the treatment of nausea and vomiting. Okay, I saved the best for last. Touch. I think my love language is actually touch. Actually, I think it's food. If you have ever heard or read The Five Love Languages, is more often or not what I get as my love language, which is interesting because I'm not a touchy-feely person. But I think it makes sense because it's like, that's how I receive love. Like, if I let you touch me, it's because I actually, like, I fuck with you. Like, I like you. Like, you could actually you have permission to touch me. And now that I'm sober, I'm even more aware of physical touch. I have talked about this before in passing. I need to do a full episode on this, but like, I've been celibate for now 14 months. So no one has physically touched me in that way in a very, very long time. Me getting sober was intentional. Me being celibate was not. It's just like a byproduct, I guess, of what happens when you don't drink. It's like really hard to force physical attraction or connection with people. But I say all that to say, that's not what this is about. I'm just saying, like, I now have to lean into finding other ways to feel fulfilled in terms of physical touch that I'm not getting from the outside world. So like, I put a lot of stock into physical touch or touch. Not physical touch, but touch as a sense that goes into my sobriety toolbox, because I'm not really getting it as much from outside sources, is the point I'm trying to make. The first thing that comes to mind when I think about like what goes into my sober toolbox that's touch related is definitely baths, like taking a nice bath. It's like a warm hug. What I recommend you can do is in your bath to elevate it, right? You can add essential oils. If you're taking a hot shower, you can put fresh eucalyptus into the shower, like prop it up against the shower head, and it will create like this aromatic experience. It's really an experience, right? So now you're having a mix of scents is happening. So you have the hot water and you have the amazing smells coming from the bath or from the shower. Then you can even put on like frequencies or like your favorite playlist. You're listening to music. You can light a candle. You can read a book. You can have chocolate covered strawberries. Why not? Right? Indulge.
once again, this is not a daily thing for me, but like, this is something that I feel like just hits on every single freaking sense. It's incredible. More baths, 2023, please. The next thing that can go into your sober toolbox is an animal. Now, hear me out. I actually don't have any pets, but I have friends that have pets, and best believe, I pet them. They're called a pet for that reason, right? And even like walking around in New York, like if I see someone's dog that I like, I always ask permission. I ask consent, people. I'm not just walking up to random dogs and petting them, but I will ask if I can pet a random stranger's dog, okay? Like, I have no shame. I am that person. I don't want to undervalue how therapeutic that can be. So if you have your own emotional support animal, you lucky ducky. Use your pet to your advantage, okay? Like, you're giving it love and shelter, and they're giving you just an innumerable amount of return when it comes to love, and you can cuddle them. And like, I don't know, like, I travel a lot, so I don't foresee myself in the near future getting a cat or a dog or anything like that. But my schedule really doesn't permit it, and I never want to abandon an animal. One day I will have either a little dog or a cat to call my own, because I just love the idea of being able to have a forever cuddle buddy. Like, that just sounds amazing. So yeah, don't forget, you definitely can include pets into your sobriety toolbox. My very last recommendation is something known as grounding. Grounding is great because it also integrates all the senses. It allows you to sort of like get out of your head. If you're someone like me, I tend to over-intellectualize everything. I'm always overthinking. It helps you get out of your head and get back into your body. Here's a grounding technique you can try. Extra kudos to you if you can do this out in nature. It's called grounding because literally like your feet are kind of like on the ground. It's great if you're barefoot and you have that connection to earth and to the world in that way. So if you can get out, like I said, in nature, it is winter, so that might be difficult where you live. But yeah, try and ground with your feet. I was going to say with your feet off. Like, try and ground with your shoes off. For the five senses grounding technique, I want you to simply notice five things that you see, that you can see around you. All right, so that's sight. Then I want you to think about four things that you can touch. If you're doing this outside, maybe you can touch the ground, okay? Maybe you can touch your chest. Then I would like you to think about three things that you can hear. Then two things you can smell. And then finally, one thing you can taste. And so using your senses will not only help ground you into your body, but it will also help distract you from other things that you may not want to experience, like a craving or a trigger. That's just my little plug for the five senses grounding. There you have it. That is my sensual sobriety toolbox. I'm curious, what do you want to put into your sober toolbox? Are you going to make it sensual like me? You don't have to. You should try and curate your sensual sobriety toolbox to where you're hitting at least all five senses. I hope this was helpful for you in determining how you can assemble your own sensual sobriety toolbox. If you or someone you know wants to be featured on the podcast, please reach out to me, Nadine, at thesoberbutterfly.com, or you can follow me on Instagram at @thesoberbutterfly. Your girl's also new on TikTok, so why don't you go TikTok me? I don't think that's a term. Oh my gosh. Go find me on TikTok, The Sober Butterfly. I'm doing all the things. And of course, subscribe to my YouTube channel. New episodes drop every single Tuesday on the podcast and also on my YouTube channel. Love you guys so much, and I'll see you next Tuesday.